You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Awesome. So I'm going to give you one thought today. I'm going to review in 10 minutes. I'm going to give you one thought in five. Then I'm going to send you home. Or if you're coming to Next Steps, I'll see you in Next Steps. Week number two is discovering your purpose. I can't wait to hang. I get to hang out with you today because I'm excited about discovering who you are in God and how God wants to propel you to be all that he's called you to be. But who'll give me 5 minutes? 5 minutes. No, let me count. I got 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Who'll give me the 5 now? Give me the 10, then give me 15, 20. That works every time. 3 years old. Once a year, I do it. Once a year, I do it. If you continue to come, you will hear that again. You won't hear it anymore this year, but next year, who'll give me 5 minutes? It'll get old after 3 years, but I'm not throwing that one away. I'm not throwing that one away. So right now, y'all have given me another 45 minutes. You raised your hand. You can't take it back. You can't take it back. The Lord sees you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. If you weren't here last week, we're so glad to see you this week. You definitely want to get the podcast because we were a little crazy last week. And we'll just have to wait. You're going to hear what the title is here in a second. But 2 Kings chapter 13, 14 through 20. I'm going to read it kind of quick. I'm going to review in 10 minutes. We're going to get one point in five, and then we're going to be out of here. Is that okay? Who give me 5 minutes? You say 5 minutes. 2 in 1 day is too much for me. Here we go. 2 Kings 13 says this. It says, Elijah had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took for himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Then Elisha said, open the east window, and he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrows of the Lord's deliverance and that arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took the arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck the ground 3 times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only 3 times. Then Elisha died and they buried him. The focus for week number two is don't stop till you get enough. Michael Jackson. Last week, I forgot Michael's famous phrase. I did the hee-hee, but I forgot this other key one, Shimona. And no one yelled it out. I got home and I was like, oh, that was the one. So look at the person beside you and say, Shimona. I was like, oh, I knew I was missing something of power last week. I knew God's presence wasn't fully here. But this week I'm packing. Shimona. Last week, we talked about Elisha, who was a mighty prophet of God, who had done many, many miracles. And the Bible says that he was on his deathbed, and knowing that he was on his deathbed, the king comes rushing in and is like, oh, my gosh, don't go. Please don't go. He's telling them all of his pleasantries. You meant this to me, and oh, you made this level of impact in my life, and I just had to come and see you. And while he's there, the king says to him, he says, hey, you bring your bow and arrow? He's like, yeah, I brought it. And he says, go get it. So he went and got it, and he put it in his hand. And then the Bible says that the prophet puts his hand on his hand and says, hey, just want you to know, you already possess things in your life that could bring about the breakthrough you need now. He says, the arrow of deliverance is in your hand. That's the now.
What you need now, you already have. But then he says, you possess a second arrow, the deliverance of your enemy that will come later. He says, you already possess everything that you need to handle. So that in the moments when you don't see me, because the prophet was on his deathbed, and back in those days, that was the way they heard God, was from the prophet of God. So he says, now, when I'm not around, I want you to know that you already possess the things that you need. So in those moments when we can't hear God, can't see God, we already possess in us the deliverance from God. Y'all all right? I'm trying to get y'all out with a 10-minute rewind and a 5-minute preview, because that's basically what it's going to be. Because I can't finish in 5 minutes. Who gave me 5? Oh, just playing. Just stand up, y'all, with me. So he says, put it in my hand. Got it? I'm going to put my hand on your hand. And when he puts his hand on his hand, he says, let me just tell you what I've been saying for a while. See, God has a way when we put things in his hand or allow him to put his hands on our stuff, he shows you what he sees. But the thing that he shows you is that what you need, you already have. Have you noticed that God has a way of using the things that you already possess? Like, when he needed to heal the blind eyes, he didn't go very far. I already got it. Or he would ask them, what do you see? Well, I mean, I look like trees. So the image that you need, you already see. The hand, I mentioned that earlier, he didn't use anything else. He didn't really do much. When you read about Jesus, he talks a lot. Get up, grab your bed, take up your bed, he would say. He always has a tendency to use what we already have. He rarely creates anything. He always uses what we already have. That's what's really cool about Jesus. So when we feel like we're insignificant, he's like, hey, the bow and the arrow, bring that. And then he tells us what he sees about us to refocus us that we already possess the power to handle the thing that's in front of us and the thing to come. So he says, okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to activate what I've started in your life right now while I'm in front of you. Because if I'm gone, you might question whether it's really true. See, God has a way, again, of activating in our life right after he says it. The problem that you and I run into is that pause moment. When we hear something he says, and then we try to decipher what it means later. That's the reason why you and I have to activate right away when something leaps on the inside of us. Because if it goes into my mindset, I'm going to think about it. Anybody else? Like, honestly, if Jesus tells me to try walking on water, my personality type is like, okay, so hold up. Now. But Jesus, it's a little bumpy, right? You see me moving as I'm asking you this question. Now? See, but Peter, I'm just bouncing all over the place to get you to my point. Peter steps out immediately. He didn't wait. See, the problem comes in is when God will say something, and then there's that gap, which then allows me to start thinking about it. He immediately says, this is what I see. There's the deliverance in your hand for now and your deliverance for tomorrow. Then he says, all right, open up the window. Let's go right now. I got to show you right now. Open up the window. Open up the window. I'm activating your faith right now. You done heard what I declared to you. Let's activate your faith right now. Here you go. Open up the window. Shoot. After that, he gives him something else. He says, now listen. So the arrow that you just shot, I just want you to know, that's a sign. That's a sign for you that anything that comes, you got it. But then he doesn't leave him there. He says, now go. Go act on it again. He says, I want you to strike the ground this time. And he doesn't give him any specifics. Strike the ground. The first time, pull out the window, you know, open up the window, shoot the arrow. This is what it means. This time he says, strike the ground. Strike the ground. And so the Bible says, I don't even know where my arrows is. I might have broken them from last week. Look, he says, strike the ground. And the king goes, okay. 1, 2, 3. That's good enough, because you already told me that I got the victory. So now since it's in my mindset, 3 is enough. Have you ever been there where God tells you to do something and you're like, that's good enough? Yeah. We're challenged. Listen, I'm going to keep talking about this. We're challenged to give the first part of our tithe. That's good enough. We're challenged to love our neighbor. I can't stand them fools. Y'all ever been there?
Oh, y'all got quiet now. Talked about the tide, talked about loving that person you hate. You're like, nah, I'm out now. Your time's up. Give me back my 5 minutes. Taking it back. There's a struggle sometimes when God just gives us that blanket and it comes back into our hands. So he says, strike the ground. 1, 2, 3. And the Bible says that after he struck the ground, that the prophet who is on his deathbed finds enough energy. I love Bible stories. I'm thinking he's way old. And I'm thinking he's like, give me your hand. I don't know if y'all see Bible stories like that, but I'm like, give me your hand, son. I love the Bible. Like, you can make it your own. I don't know if he was 38. I don't really know. But he was definitely older. But it's like, look, give me your hand. Put it in my hand. The sword of the Lord is there. But I see him when he only hears 3 times be like, hey, lift me up, Jethro. Lift me up real fast. Servants, come here. Lift me up. Let me look at him. How dare you take the word of the Lord and put it in such average terms? How dare you put a limit on the promise I just gave you when I asked you to activate it all on your own? That's how I see it. I see him laying down, but then I'm like, hold up. How dare you devalue the power that I just gave you? You know that there's going to be a moment where you won't hear God's voice. How dare you not be as aggressive as I am? That's just how I see it. That's how the story comes to me. Because here's what I said, and now my 10 minutes is just about up. I'm on time. I got a clock right there. I started at 11:00. It's 11:09. I believe he said this. Your urgency got you to me, but your complacency kept you from victory. Your urgency gets you to God. God, I got to have you. God, you got to meet me here. God, if you don't change this, I don't know what's going to happen. So we get to God, and God's embrace is always there. He's never going to push us away. He's like, thank you for coming back to me. Thank you. And then we get what we need, and we're like, thanks, man. Y'all know how we do. God, if you change me, I promise I won't. Y'all ever play that? Lord, if the Redskins win, I won't watch next season. Therefore, he has me living in a constant state of prayer. Jokers don't win nothing. Listen, our urgency has us in hot pursuit, but our complacency is like, oh, you already told me I'm healed. Why would I pray? You already told me. Why would I thank you for what you already gave me? You told me that I got it. Right? All I got to do is show up to the job. I ain't got to work like I could actually be increased. Okay? My bills are paid. Tithing? I'm already blessed. That ain't going to change me. Serving? Too busy. I forgot that you gave me the time. Encouraging someone else? I'm trying to encourage myself right now. You know I'm going through something. Yo! How dare you devalue the powerful thing that you already possess? That was last week. And so I gave a few things that is a result of, you know, complacency just kind of births from. The first thing we said that it's birthed from success. I chill out a little bit. I chill out a little bit when there's overflow. Right? I don't stress about what I used to stress about in college because I got this now. Okay? I'm good. You ever say that? We good. Are you, though? Another result is failure. I'm not trying that again because the last time I did that, I got hurt. Or I did something wrong, and God don't feel like that. So we've got success, we've got failure, but then there's also the delay. I used the story last week of Sarah and Abraham wanting the child. Sarah looks at her husband and be like, yo, go sleep with her. It's been taking too long. It's been over a year now since God told you that we were going to have this baby. So since it's taking this long, I got my own plan. They were in complacency. They weren't creating ideas. They were complacent. So we've got success, we've got failure, and then we've got delay. The final thing is, which is the most frightening, is the complaint. The Bible says that God moved the people of Israel out of their broken place, going to the promised land, but they still had, this is how church people say it sometimes, you can take the people out of Egypt, but you can't take the Egypt out of the people. Those people had that the whole time in Egypt. So while you're going towards your promise, complaining will keep you right there. Right. And you like, right. The Bible says that they wandered for 40 years. Can you imagine? Like, seriously, can you imagine literally going, all right, y'all, we need to move. 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 Feeling like you're doing something, ain't doing nothing. I move from here, I move from there. But the address is still the same. You're in the wilderness. At some point, whenever you're ready, finally God looks at him and says, oh, you know what? Y'all just stay there. You had the power. I told you that I was going to do signs, miracles, and wonders you haven't seen before. I told you what was already in your hand. And you just shook it off because of the space and time, because of the success I gave you. I brought you out. Because of the failures you may have done. Because of the delay on my promise. Oh, you got to walk around, huh? You got to go through the Red Sea now, huh? So now you're figuring like that's the delay. Oh, why? Because you ain't got no chickens out there when you wake up. I got to drop it from the sky. Whoa, because I ain't let you leave with a coat because I got to give you fire. So we've got delay, success. We've got the complaint. The complaint is the most frightening thing. Complaining can actually kill the church and its momentum. You can walk in here and you can see something going wrong and you can say it. And the minute it gets to somebody else that doesn't see it, all of a sudden they go, oh, what is that? And you know what? The lights are bright in here. Then the next week you go, oh my gosh, did you see the blinking lights? Then they go, you know what? Yeah, the lights were blinking, weren't they? They weren't thinking about the lights before until you said something. So now I got two people complaining about blinking lights. Then before you know it, he goes, man, can you believe the lights are blinking? You like, the lights were blinking. Well, not this week, but next week when the lights start blinking, you'll be like, you know what? The lights start blinking. Then before you know it, we got, why we need lights in the church anyway? Why are we trying to become like the world? Sorry, we're not in Bible days. That's how it starts. And then what happens is Jesus looks on his church and he goes, oh, snap, I gotta do something totally different. I know we don't think Jesus is like that, but Jesus will be like, you know what? You had one talent. You hid that talent. Give me your talent. I'm going to give it to that talent. He'll do it. Eyes wide open. He'll do it in your house. He'll do it in your home. He'll do it on your job. You complaining. Why I ain't get a job? Why I ain't do it? Why did? The next thing you know, Mary, she's just like, hey, I've only been here a week, and they just made me CEO. Wait a second. You started off as the driver. Because Mary's like, God gave me something. I put it in my hand. My urgency kept me running towards him. I didn't go. So here's the final point for today. This is your thought. I wrote this down. And I want you to think about this. Complacency. Watch now. Complacency will keep you fighting the same fight. You struck 3 times. You should have struck 5 or 6. Now, you will only win against that nation 3 times. Do you know what he was saying? On the 4th time, you'll see him again. There'll be a generation that will come after them. You may be gone, but they're going to show their face again. He said, if you would have done 5 or 6 times, you would have destroyed them. But now, I just want you to know, time number 4, you got to face them again. I would hate to deal with the same thing over and over again because I became complacent. Anybody in here ever deal with the same thing over and over again? Yeah. I wonder if it's because we became complacent. When we should have struck that one more time, that two more times, but we decided that should be good. See, the enemy is going to keep coming. The Bible says this. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that he will return on another day. And he will bring with him seven times more if we don't eliminate him. That's scary that if I don't go, you know what? Today's the day. Here we go. I'm just going to keep throwing until I can't throw no more. I'm going to give you everything I got because tomorrow I got something else I got to focus on. If we will keep our urgency that we had to get to God and let that be the blows that we throw, the enemy brings something. You're like, God, I'm coming to your presence. God, I got to get to you. If we stay urgent in need, then we'll have victory. That's my one thought for today. Is that enough for y'all to chew on? Complacency will have you running in circles, fighting the same fight. So, Damon, what's your point? My point is that we need a high level of urgency to silence complacency.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.